humans are pumping a lot of carbon into our environment. Since most of those emissions come in the form of exhaust from power plants, ships, and cars, you might think that carbon stays in the atmosphere, but much of it is actually stored in the oceans. A team of international scientists spent 10 years measuring how our oceans absorb carbon and how that carbon changes oceans. Christopher Sabine is one of those scientists. He's an oceanographer at the University of Hawaii, and he spoke with HPR's Ryan Finnerty about this study.
Back in the late 80s and early 1990s, the global oceanographic community decided we needed to do a survey of the oceans to better understand how much carbon was being stored there from burning of fossil fuels. So we did this survey, and after completing that global survey, we realized that the oceans perhaps would not continue to take up the carbon dioxide as efficiently in the future, so we needed to repeat this survey periodically. So we started a program to go back and resurvey the oceans again. And so this paper that came out on Friday was the second global survey of carbon in the oceans, and we were looking at the changes in carbon between that initial assessment, which had a nominal mean time of 1994, until this survey, which has a nominal time of 2007. So we were looking at the change in carbon between those years.
And before we get to the findings, could you just explain how you actually go about taking those measurements?
Sure. We go out on a ship and go all the way across the ocean. Typically, it takes a month, between 1 and 2 months, to get across the ocean. And the ship stops every 30 nautical miles, and we send a package down, a computer and some bottles, down into the bottom of the ocean, and we collect that water from the surface all the way down to the bottom. We then bring it back up onto the ship. We subsample that water for different measurements, and we just keep doing that over and over again, stopping every 30 miles until we get all the way across the ocean. And we've got a whole grid pattern that we survey across all the different oceans of the world, from the Southern Ocean to the Arctic, and from the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. And it takes about 10 years to complete that whole survey. And then we compile all the data and do our calculations with it at the end of that survey.
And so what did you find out?
And what we found is that between 1994 and 2007, the oceans had accumulated 34 petagrams of carbon. A peta is a 1 with 15 zeros after it. It's also equivalent to a billion metric tons. So what that means is we found that on average, the oceans are absorbing about 7 million metric tons of carbon every day. So that's a huge amount. And to kind of put that in perspective, because the numbers are so large, they're kind of difficult for people to grasp. But so if you were to convert that carbon into coal, right? So coal is almost pure carbon. And if you were to put that coal into a coal train, so just imagine a coal train, a hopper car full of coal, a train that would hold 1 year's equivalent of carbon in that train, it would wrap all the way around the Earth about 16 times.
So it's a ton of carbon that's being stored in the ocean.
It's a lot of carbon. So these people that say, oh, you know, humans really aren't doing enough to affect the Earth. If you just think about the magnitude of these numbers, that between 2007 and 1994, the oceans have absorbed 34 billion metric tons, and that's only 30% of what we released. A little less than half of what we release stays in the atmosphere. The rest is split between the ocean, and some of it also goes into what we call the terrestrial biosphere. Basically, it's the land, plants, and the trees.
How about the rate of absorption by the ocean? Because I've read that it's theorized that the oceans will eventually lose, they'll run out of capacity. They won't be able to take any more carbon in. There will be that train will get too long that you mentioned.
there is a concern that the oceans will become less efficient at taking up CO2. There's not really a chance that the oceans will stop taking up CO2 as long as CO2 continues to increase in the atmosphere. The oceans will continue to absorb it, but it will become less efficient at storing that CO2. So where today so what we found was from our survey in the 1990s, we found that the oceans were absorbing about 2 petagrams of carbon per year. Over the last couple of decades, it's been absorbing at a rate of about 2.6 petagrams of carbon per year. So the oceans are taking up more carbon dioxide today than they were. But that's also because the rate of increase of CO2 in the atmosphere is going up. So the faster we're burning it, we're releasing a lot more carbon into the atmosphere today than we were in the 1990s. So that's part of why the oceans are taking up more.
So it's not exactly clear.
Yeah. And so that's why we need to go back and keep measuring it. But it's also thought that the oceans will become less efficient because there's kind of a two-layer system. What happens is the CO2 dissolves into the surface ocean. It's coming from the atmosphere, right? So it's dissolving into the surface ocean. But then there's a step where the ocean water moves down into the deep ocean, and it carries that fossil fuel carbon down into the deep ocean. That rate of circulation in the ocean is very slow. It takes about 1,500 years for water that sinks, for example, in the North Atlantic, until it sinks and it moves south, moves through the Southern Ocean, and comes back up into the Pacific, and it comes back up to the surface in the North Pacific. That whole process takes about 1,500 years. We've only been releasing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere for a little over 200 years. So most of the deep ocean, particularly in the Pacific, has never been exposed to the high CO2 concentrations that we have today. So that's why the oceans will continue to take up carbon dioxide, at least for the next 1,500 years.
Are we able to discern any type of environmental impact from all of this carbon going into the ocean, the way I'm thinking of algal blooms that can be caused from too much nitrogen being dumped into the water?
Absolutely. So carbon dioxide is what we call an acid gas. The CO2 reacts with water molecules to form carbonic acid, and that's causing something that we call ocean acidification. And so we're dropping the pH levels. We're acidifying the oceans, and that's not good for many organisms, particularly those that form calcium carbonate shells or skeletons. Think about your coral reefs, your oysters, your clams, the white sand beaches on Waikiki or around Hawaii. All those are made of calcium carbonate. And as we acidify the oceans, it becomes more and more difficult for those organisms to produce their shells. So the coral reefs cannot grow as quickly as they could in the pre-industrial times because of ocean acidification. And there's a whole suite of other impacts, some of which are not necessarily something you would think about. For example, the oceans are becoming more noisy because of added CO2 in the oceans. That's not something you would normally think about, but it turns out that borate ion is found in ocean water, and that's the primary compound in the oceans that absorbs sound. Well, as you add carbon dioxide to the water and you lower the pH, that decreases the concentration of borate ion in solution in the seawater, which means that the oceans don't absorb sound as quickly or as much as they used to, and therefore the oceans get more noisy, and that could potentially impact whales and dolphins and things that use echolocation.
That's really amazing. So there are really some very significant second and third order effects to this process of carbon sequestration. Dr. Christopher Sabine, thank you very much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
That was Christopher Sabine, an oceanographer at UH Manoa. We'll have a link to the recent study of ocean carbon sequestration, posted with the story at hawaiipublicradio.org.